Well, thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about four emotions of Christmas this morning. And this is not the four, this is just any old four, okay? So four emotions. Christmas is a very emotional time, I'm sure you'll agree. And that's good, because we need to know our emotions. But the first one here we're going to look at is disappointment. Disappointment. You know, we can be looking at those presents under the tree, perhaps. We can be feeling how heavy they are. We can be sizing them up, rattling them. And it can sometimes end in disappointment. There's a huge build-up to Christmas. You know, we write to Father Christmas, perhaps. We hint to our family members. Even when I was in school talking to the children about the walk through the Bible, you know, and I can't really find the right pair of socks to wear for the occasion. And so I tell them that I'm going to mention to Santa that perhaps I could get some goose socks for Christmas. And I reckon they even came early on my birthday. But I did get some more for Christmas as well. Do you know, Mary and Joseph were getting ready to be married. And they have this angelic visitor individually. And all of a sudden, all their plans were thrown into the air. It was changed very dramatically. Mary was told she was pregnant and going to give birth to a son. Their quiet, simple life was turned upside down. But God had plans for them. Complicated plans, actually. Plans that they couldn't really get their head around, I'm sure. And I don't know how much of Isaiah they would have known, Isaiah's prophecy, but Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Well, Mary was kind of fairly clear about that one. That's Isaiah chapter 7. And Isaiah 9 talks that Galilee will be filled with glory, and he would be an heir to David's throne. All these prophecies that were coming into their minds. The Spirit of the Lord would rest on him, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 35. He would open the eyes of the blind. Kind of, what was that meaning? Isaiah 40, a messenger would prepare a way for him. Somebody else was in this. Isaiah 42, he would be a light to guide the nations. Isaiah 50, he would be beaten and spit upon. Most of the people would not believe him in Isaiah 53. He would be despised and rejected. He would be punished for our sins. He would be silent before his accusers. This is all Isaiah 53. He would be unjustly condemned. He would be buried in a tomb of a rich man. He would die as an offering for our sins. In Isaiah 61, he would comfort the brokenhearted. And you can just sort of imagine that Mary and Joseph, you know, vaguely knowing some of this stuff or perhaps knowing it very well. But did they understand? You know, were they confused? What was going on in their heads? We can't really imagine. But their simple life had disappeared, it would seem. And they were saying, how can all this stuff happen with our son? You know? But we have a memory verse, and our memory verse in 1 Peter 5, 7 says, Cast in all your cares on him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And this is really what we need to do if we're disappointed at Christmas. And this is, I'm sure, what Mary and Joseph did as they faced up to their new life. With bringing up baby Jesus. So I'd like to have a Bible reading now, and could I have a volunteer to read this off the screen, please? Brian, thank you.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month." The word of the Lord, the word of God, will never fail. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her.
Thank you, Brian. And so I wondered now if we could sing our next song, which is Thorns in the Straw. And this is, we're picking up some of the hints of this wonderful occasion, but yet what is going on in what is going to happen with Jesus. So should we stand and sing, "Since the day the angel came, it seemed that everything had changed. The only certain thing was the child that moved within." So our next emotion I want us to look at briefly here is stress. Now, nobody gets stressed at Christmas, do they? My Christmas stress starts in the summer when I order my Christmas chicken, and it builds through the autumn and it peaks about 2 weeks before Christmas. And, you know, and this last year, you know, I was wondering, will we ever get to Christmas? We know, will I get wiped out with bird flu? And, you know, that is my little life. But, you know, big family gatherings can cause all sorts of stress, you know, from cooking the perfect meal to various people finding each other's company a bit sort of difficult. And I'm sure, as we can understand, the first Christmas was not without its stress. You know, Mary was pregnant before she got married. She had a 90-mile journey on a donkey while heavily pregnant, near to her due date. And there was no pre-booked accommodation waiting for them when they got there. And she had to give birth in an animal shed, away from home, away from her family. But I wonder, how did Mary deal with this stress? Well, I think we had a clue back in that reading that we saw, we read. Do you know, she listened to the angel. She listened to God's message to her. And then she questioned the angel. She said, "How can this be? You know, I don't understand. How can this be?" And lastly, she believed the angel, knowing that he was sent from God and that it must be God speaking to her. So for ourselves, you know, when we're feeling a bit stressed, do we listen to God? Do we ask God to give us understanding? Do we actually ask God, how can this happen? What's going on, God? You know, do we ask God to give us understanding? And do we believe God? Do we really believe God? Because if we really believe God, that stress will not be there. If we really believe God is there with us. Do you know, and I guess I'm such a slow learner, but I've been doing Christmas poetry for 43 years now. Can I not believe that God is with me? God is able to deal with my stress. And that is such a hard lesson, isn't it? You know, how much do we believe? Because if we really believe, we wouldn't be worrying so much, I'm sure. But a memory verse of the words of Jesus says, "Was together, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, verse 28. Do you know, we just need to come to Jesus with our stress. We need to give him our burdens. We need to tell him, "I'm really struggling, Lord. Please take the weight." And then we will find relief when we give Jesus the weight of our stress and of our burdens. So another Christmas emotion we can easily feel is sadness. Sadness, you know, Christmas gives us a date to remember things by. It's and often that can be a sad thing. You know, and I can remember my dad telling us most Boxing Days that when he was 18, his mother died. And that was seared into his memory. He didn't make a fuss about it, but Boxing Day was always linked to that sad event in his mind. And our expectations are very high for Christmas. You know, we want that perfect meal. We want the perfect family gathering. We want the perfect presents. And those things can so easily come crashing down around us to make us sad. And we are ourselves likely to have sad memories from a Christmas past that will come to mind. You know, when we feel we should be enjoying life, and yet we're getting this sadness come into our minds. Another memory verse, which is quite appropriate. Shall we say this together? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 34, verse 18. Do you know the Lord is close to us when we are sad? We need to believe that. Do you know what? Mary and Joseph were having to escape to Egypt because King Herod wanted to kill their son. Imagine what that would be like, you know, the crazy events had happened, you know, the shepherds and the kings. But now, and Joseph was settling down, finding some work, no doubt. And Mary was into a routine with the baby. But there came to this warning of having to go off to Egypt. And the king of the universe became a refugee, fleeing for his life. And Mary and Joseph were thinking, why would anybody want to hurt such a little child as this? What harm could a small child do to such a powerful king? You know, it's crazy that we have to run away. Well, our next song is talking about one small child in the land of a thousand, one small dream of a saviour tonight. And this is what King Herod was worrying about, that his power would disappear by this one small child. So shall we stand and sing this lovely, beautiful song, One Small Child in a Land of a Thousand. It's Christmas. We haven't got to worry about the presents. We haven't got to worry about the people. We haven't got to worry about the food. It's all about Jesus. Christmas is Jesus. Jesus really is the reason for the season. He is the one who gives abundant life now and forever. He came to forgive our sins so that we can have a relationship with God. He was born so we can be born again. Jesus will give us joy. And our memory verse for this little section altogether. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. You know, Nehemiah was building those walls around the city of Jerusalem. He had a hard job to do. He had enemies out there all against him. And he needed the joy of the Lord. And we need the joy of the Lord. And that can be our strength. That can carry us through. You know, I remember one Christmas Eve, we were carol singing through Henley and we'd got to the last house. You know, we were feeling tired of walking. We were weary of singing. And we were really glad to reach this final house. And the last carol was chosen. The music was, intro was played. And the householder loudly belted out the first word. And that was, joy! And this made us giggle, and we just lost it, really. We couldn't, but he carried on with great enthusiasm, not taking any notice of us. Well, we got ourselves back on track, and we were able to join in again. And, you know, he was right. He was really giving some gusto to this song. We're going to sing this song. So we need to sing it like we mean it. We need to get that word out there, and with a good, clear joy to the world. Okay, so let's stand and let's do that together. Joy to the world. We've had an example of that little lad. He didn't hold back. But we're British, aren't we?